This is Living the RV Dream, episode 159 for Friday, September 4th, 2020.
I'm riding
in my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV, yeah.
Hello, happy campers. Hello, happy travelers around the world. Happy Friday, boondockers, part-timers, full-timers, weekend warriors, and everybody else in between. Van dwellers, yes, also. And, you know, schoolie dwellers as well. Schoolies have been popular for a few years now. And, yeah, September, huh? Whatever happened to 2020? I mean, I'm telling you, that clock is going tick-tock, tick-tock. Relentlessly. And today, coming to you from Salt Lake City, Utah. I got here yesterday, and today I did a quick drive around the city. You know, I had to go to Walmart, so I'm so close to, like, everything, pretty much. And you know, close to downtown, close to the Capitol building, close to the temple, the Mormon temple. And the Capitol building, impressively, it's very classic. It's it almost looks like the one in Washington, if you will. And for some reason, Siri thinks I want to talk to her. I don't know why.
One option I see is Walmart Supercenter.
No, I don't want to try that one, Siri. Yeah, I guess she understood the word Walmart, and she wants to direct me to the closest Walmart Supercenter. I don't know, not even putting the phone in silent mode do we not get sometimes interrupted. Where was I? The Capitol building, beautiful. It's very classic. It looks very much like the one in D.C., and that classic style with the dome in the middle, you know, the cupola, and you know, both sides, I guess, you know, and the temple, the Mormon temple, very nice. It is undergoing renovations, but I'm gonna go back tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, probably Saturday, because one of the main reasons I'm here, besides staying at a campground with decent internet and have time to finish editing Sunday's video and record the podcast and doing certain, you know, things, you know. Ely is flying. I always say frying instead of flying. Ely, she's not frying anything. She's flying in from Miami on Friday, and right after the live stream, I'm gonna go pick her up at the airport, and then Saturday we're gonna tour the area, and then we'll start working our way east through Utah, Colorado, and Kansas. Actually, she's flying back from Kansas City. I'm gonna visit the folks at Winnebago Towables in Middlebury, Indiana. We're gonna do like a mini RV show, I think, and talk to them and this and that. And then I don't know. It's still kind of penciled in. I might do a quick tour of Ohio. My friend Jim, you know, when I visited last year, you know, I commented that at some point I would like to make a video about, you know, farms, like how our food that we buy at Publix or Walmart or whatever, how does it get produced? And, you know, those things that, at least us city boys, we don't really know anything about, like grain elevators and all the combined machines, and how does all that work? I think it would be something interesting and something that that I haven't seen many people talk about. So that's the plan anyways. And then from there, my mom might fly and join me for the last leg of the trip going back to Miami. We might go through West Virginia and maybe Kentucky. I've been kind of thinking of avoiding Kentucky, because they do have in the books a mandatory quarantine, or at least they did, for, you know, for out-of-state visitors. So we might avoid Kentucky. I don't know yet. I don't know what I'm gonna do. You know, I know what I'm gonna do for the next 2 weeks, and then I'm just making it up as I go along. But let me tell you what I've been doing for the past week, because last time we spoke I was in Gardiner, Montana. It's just by the northern entrance to Yellowstone National Park. I got to hang out Thursday night with longtime viewer Jason and Misty. And that was a lot of fun. We had a couple of local IPAs right there, you know, at a bar. I forget the name. It was a bar. It's a balcony. It's right there, right by the Yellowstone River. And that was a lot of fun. And then the next day, I spent the whole day working. And then, it was on Saturday. This was Thursday, Friday. I worked. Saturday, I decided, you know, I'm here. I'm in Yellowstone. Let's at least drive through Yellowstone, right? And I got to see one of the geyser basins I had not seen before, which is it's called the name escapes me right now. Hold on, Norris Geyser Basin. Google is awesome. It's Norris Geyser Basin. I just go in Google Maps and look for the places, and the most famous geyser there is the Steamboat geyser, which unfortunately none of the geysers were very active when I was there, and I couldn't see any of them erupting. But it was cool, you know. At least I had to do something if I were to visit Yellowstone, and it was still a very rewarding experience. I have to see some of those hot springs. Not the ones that you can bathe in, but these are much hotter, and this incredibly transparent water, and the colors is this aqua colors, and yeah, that was really cool. I actually spent there more time than I had originally planned, but it was totally worth it. And then I got out of Yellowstone through the west entrance, which I had never seen the west entrance to Yellowstone. And I did a little bit of Montana, and there I got into Idaho. And a lot of people have recommended the Mesa Falls Scenic Byway. And let me tell you, the byway itself is not that scenic. It is scenic, but of course, we're coming from Yellowstone, we're coming from Glacier National Park, you know, everything is a matter of relativity, perspective, and expectations. And had I come from some other place, maybe this would have been like incredibly beautiful. But what it is beautiful, and the waterfalls in Idaho never disappoint. And I saw the upper Mesa Falls and the lower Mesa Falls. And the upper Mesa Falls, you see it right there. They're right next to you. And it's an amazing sight, really. It's one of those mini Niagara Falls, I want to call it even. And then the lower Mesa Falls are equally impressive. The only thing with the lower Mesa Falls, you see it from far away. So both I fully recommend it. And what did I find? And this is one of these serendipitous things, because I had no idea where to stay. And sometimes when the sun starts getting low in the horizon, I start getting nervous about where to spend the night. And I found this BLM land. It's 14-day right at the entrance. It's right by the entrance, the western entrance of the Mesa Falls Scenic Byway, at the junction with US 20, very close to Harriman State Park. And lo and behold, you enter there, and there's a sign, 14 days, you can stay there, up to 14 days, right next to Henry's Fork, the river there. And very nice and quiet. There were probably another 5 or 6 or 7 RVs in total in the area, and it was a nice stay. The following morning, I continued south or southwest, or rather, you know, I wanted to see a couple of things in Idaho, a couple of things that I missed the last time, and actually one thing. Yeah, that's all I got to see, and that is Craters of the Moon National Monument. And what an amazing place it is. And and I went there, you know. I always talk to the ranger as soon as I get in. And of course, the actual visitor center, it is closed due to COVID, but they have someone outside, you know, with the maps and kind of, you know, giving you guidance of what to do and what not to do. And I told her, you know, I want to do a couple of hikes, nothing too strenuous. And she kind of discouraged me to taking the North Crater Trail. And against her advice, I took it. And I did most of the trails. I think I only had one or two that I missed. And if they discourage you from doing the North Crater Trail, don't listen to them. Do it. At least the southern portion. Because that's a trail that goes pretty much from the visitor center all the way to stop number 5, let's say, on the map. Do it from stop number 5. Do it backwards. That's the most amazing landscape. And if you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw that picture, and it looks like I have an alien behind me because of the rock formation. It's a crater, you know, and it looks like that. And the other trails, they're fine. There's one called the Devil's Orchard Nature Trail. That one I would probably skip because it's just, you know, you're walking around this lava field and a bunch of the exhibits basically making you feel guilty about visiting the place, you know, like us humans are really destroying the area. And but that stop number five, which is the snow cone and the spatter cones stop, from where you can also do at least a section of the North Crater Trail, that's a must. And there, the snow cone, actually you look into the crater and there's snow down there. There's the Inferno Cone, which is a little bit of a hike uphill, but from the top of the Inferno Cone, the views are incredible. And the other trail that I did was one called it's called the Broken Top. It's a loop trail that goes through to an overlook from which you can see like almost the whole park. And then Buffalo Caves, which unfortunately you do have to get a permit, and right now they're closed, but that would have been something cool to see as well. And there's the Wilderness Trail that is many, many miles. And of course, I didn't do that one. But definitely a Craters of the Moon. If you're in the area, it's definitely is something worth seeing. It is a national monument and it is free to visit. No, I lied to you. It's not free, but I have that America the Beautiful annual pass. It's free to visit the visitor center, but once you want to get into the loop road, they do have a, right now, actually, because of COVID, they just have like a self-service station where you pay with a credit card, and that's it. Beautiful. From there, you know, I didn't have anywhere to stay, so I decided, you know what, the Walmart in Twin Falls seems to be RV friendly. There are two Walmarts in town. The first one I stopped and I looked kind of sketchy. There was a gentleman asking for money at the entrance, and there was another kind of dilapidated RV in the parking lot. So let me go to the, and I had that plan B, plan C, plan D. You know, my plan C was the visitor center, which I know it says no camping, but I've seen people overnight there. I've been to Twin Falls before. As you guys know, I was there last year, actually. And I also saw an RV that was parked at the viewpoint there, at the bridge over the Snake River, at the scenic overlook. And I bet you two bottles of scotch that person stayed there overnight. No, I stayed at the Walmart that is close to downtown Twin Falls. It was fine. It was quiet. Very large, humongous parking lot on that Walmart. And there were like five other RVs. And we did fine. Now from Twin Falls, and that was just a couple of days ago, I came to where I am right now. But I decided to do a scenic loop. Because, you know, I could drive from Twin Falls to Salt Lake City. It's a couple of hours. But I wanted to see a little bit of Nevada. Add Nevada to my map for this trip. And do at least a small segment of US 50, which is the loneliest road in America. That's of course, it gets far lonelier the farther west you go. And that's a project for another year, for another trip. Do the entire, I would love to do the entire US 50. In fact, I'm going to do another segment of US 50 probably now when I get into Colorado. But I did it from the town of Ely, spelled E-L-Y. And I did like 10 miles west of Ely just to see the official loneliest road, and then from there I went east, and it's such a beautiful drive. And even then I ran into some heavy smoke, you know, we're still getting some smoke from the wildfires in California, and they're making it all the way here, and all of a sudden it got really smoky. But you know, it was such a rewarding trip. On my way down to LA, I did cross the Pony Express trail, and they do have a sign there and some exhibits. And and then, you know, it's as you there's the Great Basin National Park, which I didn't stop there, but every once in a while it's just valleys and not small mountain ranges until you get to Nevada. I was gonna stay at a at a gas station that offers a free overnight parking there on the Nevada-Utah border. It's called the Border Inn. It's a small hotel. They have a casino, of course, because everywhere in the Nevada border, you're going to find a casino. I don't care what state it is. And they had a gas station. They have an RV park that you pay for with hookups, but I was just going to boondock. But it was kind of hot and very windy. And there was cell phone signal if we wanted to make a call on AT&T, but there was no internet to be had, and I wanted to get a little work done, so I decided to continue. And I ended up at this town called Delta, and I had a couple of points of interest in Delta that I wanted to see. In fact, the next day I saw the Delta Solar RD Research and Development Site, which is like this solar generating station that they built, and you're gonna see it on the video. It's very interesting. It looks very creepy. It's like what remains of it. They had this idea of the panels, that the panels would move like sunflowers to follow the sun and then create heat, you know, like a parabolic kind of antenna, and create heat and go to a boiler. And but you know, it's too windy out there, and the devices didn't work. But as I arrived in Delta, I found this RV park right next to the gas station. And by the way, no services for like 88 miles or something like that on this road. So that's the first gas station you encounter. And right next to the gas station, as you enter Delta, there's an RV park. It's called Antelope Valley RV Park. And I was going to do like the self-checking, but the lady came out immediately and she checked me in. And, you know, it was $40 per night, but if you have good Sam, it's $36. And yeah, that was a nice respite. And now I'm here at the KOA in Salt Lake City. And that was the drive yesterday as I came here. By the way, I'm recording this on a Wednesday, and very nice drive until you arrive into the Salt Lake City metropolitan area, and then it is kind of, you know, I'm not used to driving in cities anymore. I've been in the wild part of the country for so many days. It was kind of a shock, you know, the on the highway, and not the smoothest roads either. But I'm here, and by the way, this KOA here in Salt Lake City, the best internet, the best campground Wi-Fi I've ever had, besides perhaps Matt Lachey. But in Matt Lachey, for them, it was easy. There was only 10 sites. But here, this is a huge KOA, and I'm getting 40 megabits down, 40 megabits up, which is unheard of for at a campground. In any case, that's the synopsis of my trip. And now we're going to see the synopsis of another trip, because today it was my pleasure to interview Nathan Pettijohn, and he just wrote a book. It's called Travels with Jaffa. And without further ado, here's the interview. And I apologize a little bit for the audio quality. I didn't use my normal setup to record this interview, but I think it sounds good enough. You know, an RV is a small place, but sometimes you misplace things easier in the RV. And there's one cable that I use to record the interviews over Zoom, and I could not find it. So what you are going to hear is whatever Zoom recorded internally, and I think it sounds okay. So, without further ado, here's Nathan Pettijohn and his book, Travels with Jaffa. All right, everybody. Our guest today is Nathan Pettijohn, and he's an author, talent manager, and entrepreneur. And he just recently wrote a book called Travels with Jaffa. And I would like to welcome him to the podcast today. And hey, Nathan, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Where are you coming to us from today?
I'm in Los Angeles in Hermosa Beach.
Hermosa Beach. Yeah, I've actually been there. I was there once some years back. We were staying near LAX, and we said, let's just take this Sepulveda Boulevard south, see where it leads. And we ended up in Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach as well. It's a nice area.
Yeah, it's beautiful down here.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself and what motivated you to write this book.
Yeah, so, I mean, I grew up in Oklahoma, and I moved to Los Angeles when I was 19, and I studied film. I worked for producer for a little while as an assistant. And then I started a digital marketing company called Corduroy in 2011. And so I'm still running that. And it's been sort of a lifestyle business. Like, I don't have tons of clients, but, you know, it's done fine and been able to enable me to travel. And the last few years, I've started traveling a lot more. My last book I wrote was called Zen and the Art of Admin Tasks. And it was like a real short tactical guide about how I outsource my emails and have an admin handle a lot of, you know, day-to-day kind of things. And because of that book, I was able to go to like Cuba and Colombia and Brazil and a bunch of different trips. And I would go for 4 or 5 weeks at a time. And then I got this dog and went through a breakup last year and decided to rent an RV for the month of October for about like 3.5 weeks. And I went on that trip kind of inspired by John Steinbeck's book, Travels with Charlie. And maybe midway through the trip, I started thinking like maybe I should, you know, write my own notes. And so I started writing things down. And, you know, it wasn't really the goal to write a book, but I had all those notes done. And then this year during March, April, when quarantine really hit, especially here in LA, just packed with people, but you can't even go to the beach or you couldn't, you know, go to restaurants or anything. I started really writing it then. And so the month of April of this year, I wrote this book during quarantine, and it was kind of a way for me to just relive the trip and imagine being back out on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. That is definitely a good time to spend writing a book, or a lot of people have been doing projects that they have been putting off for years, because really for a couple of months there was nothing we could do. And tell us a little bit about the name of your dog, Rafa. How did that came about?
Well, I was in Brazil when I decided to get him. So I named him Rafael, and they pronounce their R's with like an H. So it'd be Rafael. Yeah. And shortened, it's just Hafa. But they would spell it R-A-F-A. So I did my book H-A-F-A just to make it a little easier for the English audience to pronounce it.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah, and I'm familiar. The R is kind of in between like the French R. It's a fascinating language, Portuguese. I speak Spanish. That's my first. That was my first language. And Portuguese is very similar, but it has this this beautiful accent, actually.
I teach my dog a lot of Portuguese commands.
Oh, you do?
So I'll tell him, you know, Senta for sit, or Vem aqui for come here. But I'll say those kinds of things to him, kind of just so he'll only listen to me when we're in the United States.
Yeah, that's a cool. Like, what kind of dog is it?
He's a German Shepherd.
German Shepherd. Oh, those are smart.
He was a puppy. Yeah, he was a puppy when we took the trip. He was about 8-9 months old. So it was cool that, you know, he was going through his early years and, you know, able to go on a trip like this and see the real world and not be stuck in a city just with fences and leashes and rules and stuff. And I'm really glad that he was able to start his life like that.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. I think RVing is the best way to travel with a pet, because you can have him with you all the time. You know, you don't have to put him in a cage, putting him in the plane, especially a large dog like that. You know, it's it will be a challenge to travel internationally.
Yeah, he loved it. It was a lot of fun.
So, what kind of RV did you end up getting? Did you buy one, or did you just rent for a few weeks? What did you do?
I would like to buy one, but for this trip, I was a little inexperienced. I was kind of a newbie to all this. My dad had an RV when I was growing up in Oklahoma, and we'd go to some places, but I had never driven anything like that. So I went to one of those rental websites, and I rented one from somebody that owned theirs. Mine was a 2004 Fleetwood Southwind, so 36 foot, mm-hmm. You know, pretty good size.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. You didn't play around. You got like something relatively big for a newbie. Yeah. I mean, that's a gas engine class. Did you find any type of trouble like parking at places, especially traveling just with the RV, right? You weren't towing a car or anything like that.
Yeah, it was just the RV. Parking was a little tricky some places, especially at night, or I did a lot of boondocking. That was my favorite thing. But I guess most of the difficulties I had were probably with like weather, driving through snow and ice and wind, and just learning how to navigate.
What time of the year did you do this?
October.
October. So yeah, you're getting there to the beginning of the cold season. Well, if in LA, not really, but once you get to higher elevation and further north. And as I read in the book, you stuck mostly to the Western United States. So I imagine parking wasn't as much of an issue as it would be like in the Northeast or like in LA, for example. I'm sure you probably had trouble parking in Hermosa Beach where you live.
Yeah, when I loaded it up, I've got like metered parking in front of my house. So I had to have two of my friends park their cars in front of my home and then move them as I pulled up so I could load and unload. But yeah, I just went through 11 states. I did like a big loop. So I went through, you know, like Utah, Wyoming, Montana, and then back west through the top section of Idaho, then did a little bit of Washington, and then through Oregon, and then back down to California.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great part of the country to RV in. I mean, you went through some pretty steep mountains up there in Montana and Idaho, I imagine. And any did you meet any memorable people? I mean, you traveled with the dog, and you also went with your brother, I think, right?
My brother came for the first 5 days of the trip, but then he had to fly home from Salt Lake City to go back to, he lives in San Diego. So he had to go back to work, but his birthday overlapped with those first days. So I got to spend the first few days with him, got used to the RV a little bit. I saw my nephew in Utah. I saw a good friend of mine that lives in Bozeman, Montana, and spent a few days there. So other people did kind of come in and out. In the book, I talk about like going out to, you know, different bars and stuff and meeting locals. And there is certainly, you know, a lot of interesting people that I met.
Yeah.
But my favorite parts, like I stayed at, you know, national parks and RV parks and KOA and parking lots. But my favorite thing was always the boondocking of just kind of being out on my own with just me and the dog. There's a few spots where we stayed at like a ranch in Billings, Montana with 17,000 acres, and it was just us.
Yes.
And things like that were just so amazing.
Yeah, I know. I love doing that too. And the idea of being self-contained, you know, and, you know, you have your own water, your own power, your own, you're out there, you know. And did you have a solar panels on the RV for power, or was it pretty much like just your batteries and generator and stuff?
It's just the batteries and generator. You know, it took me a couple days to figure all the simple things out, like just using the propane heater and stuff. Like I had plugged in the little portable heaters and then I blew a fuse. So then my power inverter stopped working. And then for a couple days going up in elevation and getting colder, the generator was finicky. So there were a couple times where it was just like, you know,
any specific like funny, you know, newbie mistakes that you made that you want to share with us?
A bunch of them. I mean, I was nervous about the tire, like one of the tires, someone told me I should replace it at like some gas stop. So I was kind of fear mongered into buying a new tire, which was kind of expensive.
Yeah.
The propane was probably the biggest one. Cause I woke up, at the East Canyon State Park, which is about 40 miles east of where you are right now by Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
It was real cold and I hadn't turned on the propane and my dog was like on top of me shivering because it was so cold. So it took me a few days to really figure out just even a lot of the basic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you just jumped into the deep end, right? You didn't like take any classes before or anything like that. You used that.
Yeah. And I didn't plan out like where to stay each night. I just kind of started driving and then, you know, I would use different apps to find out where some BLM land was or where I could park. But yeah, I didn't plan out very much at all.
Any apps specifically that you found particularly helpful? I know I use a bunch of them too, so I wanted to know which ones you used.
I mean, I booked the RV on Outdoorsy. I made the original itinerary on Road Trippers, which was a really helpful app.
Yeah.
Because it'll also tell you like kind of gas mileage and different attractions to see. Yeah. The Free Roam app has a lot of good info on BLM land. So I liked that app a lot. Trying to think of what else. I tried a lot of the other ones that tell you about campsites, but I didn't find them super useful. My friend in Montana had just launched an app called Land Trust where people that own a lot of land can list it for people to rent to go hunting or something.
Okay.
So he had just signed up a new client with the 17,000 acres in Billings, and that's why we went to that ranch and we were able to camp out you know, out there with 17,000 acres and the dog.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, that's super cool. Any people you met on the road that stand out as you know, interesting characters? Who would be like the most interesting character you met, and where?
Well, I met a lot of interesting guys at bars and had conversations, and I talk in the book about just all my thoughts, and you know, we talk about dating apps and dog training and religion and different stuff. One that I thought was kind of memorable was in Billings, Montana, when we were going out to that ranch, because we had lunch beforehand in town, and the guy that was showing us the property was sitting with us at lunch, and I found out that like a year before, he had had an accident while he was out hunting on that property with his son. He was riding on a four-wheeler, sitting on a shotgun, and went over a cattle grate and was going maybe 15 miles an hour. And then just immediately when he went over the cattle grate, went to 0 miles an hour, and the two back tires came up, the shotgun dislodged and fired from directly underneath him and shot his own balls off. And then the bullets went up into his abdomen. And I only found out about this, and then he had to send his 12-year-old son to go call for help. And while we were at lunch, this guy was sitting behind us and leaned over and was like, "Hey, I thought that was you. I was one of the paramedics that was the first to arrive, and we had given you a 2% chance of surviving." And, you know, they talked for a minute, but I wouldn't have even known that story if the paramedic hadn't been sitting behind us at lunch. So there's a lot of those kind of little things that you meet very interesting people that, you know, there's stories that you had no idea even happened.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yes. Sometimes you meet people from all over the country and the world, actually, I've met. And the stories are amazing. And of course, you visited probably some of the most beautiful parts of the western part of the United States. Which, if there's one that you could, it's hard for me to answer this question too, which if there's one that would be your favorite, what would that be?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, we did stay at, you know, Yellowstone, Yosemite, Zion.
Those are the classic national parks, top. You're at the top five right there. Yeah, absolutely.
Mount Rainier and Crater Lake. I didn't really like I stayed within the park at most of those, and it was kind of crowded and kind of, you know, a lot of rules and, you know, dog has to be on a leash and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as fun for me as boondocking was. I stayed at a spot near Mount Rainier that was really nice and relaxing, and it was raining, and I really liked the atmosphere there. I think maybe Crater Lake was possibly my favorite too, because the dog was just having the best day of his life running around in circles, and it was beautiful there. And it was kind of late in the season, like late October, where they were closing those parks. I think it was like the last 2 days that you could even park there. So it wasn't very busy. It snowed, but it was just like a really memorable day. And it was just me and the dog on like a, you know, a Friday, but it wasn't like being in LA on a Friday and, you know, wishing you were going out or seeing people on Instagram posting things. It was just like, I was very fulfilled just being out there with the dog.
Yeah. And no cell phone signal, I'm sure. It was just you and nature and the dog. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Crater Lake is still on my bucket list. I haven't quite made it there yet, but it's on the short list now for sure. And is there any place that didn't live up to the hype that, you know, everybody tells you? Because I have a few of those myself. A place that you must go, this is like the epitome of the beauty or what have you. And you were like, not really.
The thing that struck me was, you know, at all those parks, like Zion was the first one I went to, but you know, from then on, every time I was at a national park, I mean, it's gorgeous, and the people that work there, the park employees, are all really nice, you know, wonderful people, and it's hard to complain. But I hated just being out there with so many people, like it was like you're all in a row, like you're at Disneyland going up to the same hike to take a picture from the same exact vista as everyone else. And in my opinion, there's thousands of beautiful places in this country that you can go take a picture, you know, be at by yourself, that you don't really need to just stand in line and take the same picture as everyone else. So I think that was, you know, one of my takeaways from the hype that people are, you know, you must go to Zion or Yellowstone or something. Yeah. Like, it's gorgeous there, but there's other beautiful places that you're not basically in a Disney-like, you know, line of people.
Yeah. 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 Especially Yosemite. I don't know if do you go to Yosemite or not? You went to Yosemite. It's one of those places that is like Disney. I don't know. This year is going to be different. I mean, everything is different this year. But when I was in Yosemite last year, that's one of the things, like, traffic jam. The whole park is the whole valley is a traffic jam. And I think those places may perhaps slightly off season, like I did Zion in the dead of winter, and there was no one there. It was awfully cold, but there was no one there, and that was a good experience.
I talk about Yosemite in the book about that exactly. You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Cheesecake Factory up there soon. You know, it's like, you can go up there in a BMW and stay at a nice resort kind of place and ride a horse, you know, up to the, you know, the trail or whatever. And it's all, and there's a golf course, and I don't know, there's a lot of it that, in my view, I was kind of seeing it from the perspective of 60 years later, after John Steinbeck's novel of his road trip, and how much different Yosemite and the Redwoods and that experience would have been 60 years ago versus, you know, this kind of resort like, you know, version.
It's like now everybody discovered it, and I think we need to discover new places. I'm sure there's some places out there that, although let me tell you, Yosemite, those waterfalls, that's like, it looks like the movie Avatar to me. It's like something out of this world, but that's
Yosemite is incredibly gorgeous. Yeah. You feel, you know, majesty when you're there, for sure. I don't want to say bad things about Yosemite, but that was kind of the takeaway.
Yeah, yeah. If you take the crowds out, it's one of the most marvelous places on Earth, I think. And all right, any final lessons learned from this trip? I'm trying to think, like, perhaps any stereotypes that you had that got debunked, any or reaffirmed for that matter, or any final takeaways.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think just saying yes and going out and doing it was the best decision I could have made. I didn't want to return the RV, and I wanted to go again as soon as I got back. I think that, and it reaffirmed what I already really believed in, but I talk a little bit in the book about the idea of bucket lists and how, you know, you usually think of it as like a end of your life kind of thing. Like, you know, I'll put this off until I'm retired, or I'll put off seeing this until it's easier and I have more money saved up or something. It's like, no, actually, you know, quarantine and COVID is a great example of, you never know when you're going to have another chance to get out of your house and go on the road and have these experiences. So you might as well do them today, right now. And I think, you know, I talk about it a lot more in the book. That's kind of the short version of it. But I think that this mindset of bucket lists and, you know, pushing things off until later in life is the biggest takeaway for me, or for what I would hope readers would get out of this, is saying, yeah, I should go on a trip myself, you know, even if it's, you know, not 3 weeks or something, even if it's just 1 week, getting out in nature and exploring and taking an RV somewhere it was such a life-changing experience. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. Any plans to do it again in the future? I mean, right now it's super popular because nobody wants to fly, nobody wants to go, nobody can travel internationally. So a lot of people are RVing, let me tell you.
I would love to. I want to buy an RV now. I mean, this last trip definitely convinced me that it's the way to go. I loved it. But nothing's planned yet. I don't have any big trips planned for the moment.
All right. Well, Nathan, I want to thank you for being on the podcast, and your book, Travels with Jaffa. It's available on paperback and on Kindle as well, I believe, right?
Yes, on Amazon.
On Amazon. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. And I'll see you on the road. Hopefully, we'll meet in person at some point in our travels back and forth.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
No, you're welcome. All right. Well, yeah, you heard it. Travels with Jaffa, and the book is available on Kindle and paperback. And I'll put a link to Amazon where you can get this book and follow Nathan on his adventures with his dog Jaffa on the Western United States. And I'm sure it's going to be a page turner for sure. I also wanted to announce, and this last minute I just remembered, I was just interviewed on another podcast, and I wanted to plug that. And the name of the podcast is Booked. No, hold on, because my eyesight is gone, man. Always Be Booked, Cruises and Vacations. And I'll put a link to that on the show notes as well. And that's it. That's all I've got for you today. Of course, if you want to support the podcast, just go to travelingrobert.com/support. And there's, you know, ways to donate or to do Patreon and all that. But also, just follow my Amazon links, and whatever you buy on Amazon by following those links, I get a little bit of a commission, which I use to finance the podcast. And also for all your electronic products for your RV, be it a tire pressure monitoring system or the Berkey water filter, which is not an electronic device, but they have it too, and they have all kinds of things. Techno RV, our friends Eric and Tammy Johnson. And hopefully there will be RV shows again, so I can meet them in person one more time, or many more times, actually. If you go to travelingrobert.com/techno-RV and you follow that link, whatever you buy from them, they send me a check at the end of the month with a little bit of a cut in appreciation for sending you customers to them. And that's all I'm going to plug today. No song of the day today. I'm not going to play a song. I'm just going to say goodbye. Until next time, have a great weekend. Happy Friday to all of you. Don't forget, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 2200 UTC. That will be a live stream from here, from Salt Lake City. And until next time, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. Because I'm free in my RV.